Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 433. Science Faction, I call BS.
Now, this could be called whatever the fuck you just said, or it could be called Science Faction, Damien's coming off of perfect, because that's what happened last episode. So I don't get to play this episode.
You do. You get to play. You lost last episode because of the perfect, bad, perfect, good rule, which means that if you score a perfect zero followed by a perfect four, it averages to a perfect zero.
That doesn't work mathematically, and it also leaves out the fact
that vortex mathematics.
Just made it up at the end of last episode after I got a perfect.
Damien, this has been established in essentially every quiz show ever. It happened to that one Ken guy on Jeopardy that one time. Like, it is known that if you get all zeros and then all perfects, you keep the old zero score. That's why they call carry the zero.
I have filled out a Freedom of Information Act request about what happened to, one, where are those all the emails, and two, a written copy of the rules so that...
They're simple, Damien. There's like two of them, and you ignore them every single time. Okay. All right, audience. This is, of course, Science Faction's I Call BS, the game where I read four science news articles, some of which are real and some of which are BS, standing for bad science. Now, Damien usually competes against a scientist, but thanks to the quarantine, we've got no scientists here, and instead he will just be competing against himself, which, as he just pointed out, he has managed to lose three times in a row competing against himself.
You know, I was going to pause this and go use the restroom halfway through, but I think I will be expressing myself in this bedpan this whole episode.
First of all, that's called a computer monitor. And second of all, your girlfriend is going to be very upset.
It's just the case. That's what I'll explain to her. It's just your laptop case. It's not your laptop. Although I did put it in there afterwards to hide it.
Let's go right on to I Call BS.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, article number one. Researchers have found that high-altitude adaptations that many Tibetans have may actually cause them chronic health problems. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. It has made them more susceptible to avalanches.
One of the most insidious chronic health problems in Tibet is avalanches.
It is the leading cause of death, I have to imagine, among Sherpas.
They call it Tibetan diabetes.
And if they had just died of lack of oxygen or hypothermia, as nature has tried to do to them for generations, they wouldn't be killed by an avalanche 40 years later.
Interesting hypothesis, Damien, but this is actually bad science. They found the opposite, and they found that when looking at a specific group in eastern China that's descended from Tibetan Highlanders, but they now live in the lowlands with other Han Chinese, they found that they seem to be far less susceptible to negative effects of things like diabetes and hypertension than their Han Chinese counterparts, even though they live the same lifestyle, they kind of participate in the same culture, they live in the same environment. Now, it seems that that Highland adaptation, which we've talked about, some of those adaptations actually we got from Denisovans, and they're very interesting Highland adaptations that allow these groups of people to live up in Tibet where the rest of us we could not live. We could not pull enough oxygen out of the air, and they're able to do so their entire lives very easily. It turns out that those adaptations can actually help for other things as well.
Now, isn't it because we've talked about it on the show, but isn't it because their ancestors bred in with the abominable snowman?
Yes, called the Denisovan. Some of those adaptations allow them to have higher blood flow by dilating their blood vessels even more, which can increase oxygen delivery. So researchers think that that might help like fight against hypertension because you can kind of deliver more oxygen, more blood. Your blood vessels can dilute much bigger. They also have lost a specific mechanism that increases red blood cell production in response to low blood oxygen, which if you think about it, like that is there to help you. But at a certain point, that essentially turns your blood into like oil thickness and your heart can't pump it and you die. So that particular adaptation helps them survive up there. They also think that particular adaptation would help mitigate against things like anemia that would normally come about along with diabetes. And so that particular adaptation might prevent them from getting diabetes in the normal course of things. Obviously, they could probably still get it eventually, but it gives them some kind of protection. And I gotta say, these type of stories piss me off because, like,
they weren't done on a white man.
No, know. It's like the way the rules work in comic books is that, like, you get a superpower, but it comes with some kind of burden or, like, downside. You're Cyclops and you can't ever open your eyes without killing people unless you're wearing ruby quartz glasses. Like, you got some kind of downside to it. But here, they get the superpower being able to run up at, like, 20,000 feet no problem, and they're healthier during rain. Like, they should be less healthy. It is not fair.
Maybe it makes you more susceptible to being killed by Mongolians. And they're living at a very lucky time for them. They've come down from the mountain now. But yeah, this happened a couple hundred years ago.
I am tired of the fact that time after time, history has privileged the Tibetans.
They have so much freedom that people just say it around the world. Free Tibet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when people say, like, oh, are you free? Well, not like free Tibet, you know, but like free. Yeah, yeah, kind of. All right. Article number two. Researchers have discovered that naked mole rats bathe their brains in CO2 to avoid from having seizures. Damien, this is science or bad science?
This is bad science. The only way to prevent a naked mole rat from having seizures is to prevent it from watching anime. And good luck with that.
Yes, I've heard, like, despite being native only to Africa, I have heard naked mole rats huge into anime and manga.
It is almost impossible to find a naked mole rat who's not wearing a Dragon Ball Z shirt.
Unless they're the hipster ones who are super into, like, Akira.
Yeah, so I was into anime before it was cool, back when it was just disturbing.
Well, Damien, good hypothesis, but this one is bad science.
I'm shooting the moon.
And this is just one more weird thing from the non-warm-blooded mammal known as the naked mole rat. So there's a weird mutation that it has in its brain system that other mammals don't have. And this mutation basically means that it will constantly go into seizures if it's just left to its own devices. Now, all mammals technically have this as a background, but we have developed a specific gene that basically keeps our brain from doing this. Naked mole rats don't have that anymore. And so what they do is they increase the level of CO2 in their dens and where they live and underground until it's super, super high. And that high level of CO2 prevents their brain from having seizures. This is actually something we know from humans, that if somebody is having a routine seizure thing, by upping their CO2 percentage, you can prevent some of their seizures.
The breathing in the paper bag that you see in movies.
The reason this came about is a kind of really interesting story, too, is a researcher who works with kids who have seizures, kids who are born with these conditions when they have seizures. He was looking at one of those, like, science fact a day calendars, and it said, like, naked mole rats are, like, the only mammal that isn't warm blooded. Like, they can't control their own temperature. They have to kind of they got to be like lizards, like run out in the heat or something. And he thought, oh, that's funny. A lot of these kids who have seizures, they also have trouble regulating their own temperature. And he thought maybe they might be related. And then when they found out about the brain seizure thing, he realized, oh, this is why the CO2 levels are so high for these naked mole rats. They are using the same trick that we do in the hospital to keep these kids from having seizures, which is upping the percentage of CO2 in the air that they're breathing. Naked mole rats do this in their dens. And if you take them out, motherfuckers just start seizing like crazy.
We talked last week about high CO2 in classrooms.
Yeah.
Would make kids dumber.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, kids will be dumb, but it'd be the end of epilepsy, wouldn't it?
I don't know if that'll do it, nor would it be worth it, but...
Bobby, I know it'd kill you to have to work a little bit harder in calculus.
Listen, okay, I'm not gonna lie. I have been paid off by Big Seizure.
Big anime.
Ironically... Grand Mal Seizure.
Damn it, I was picturing a Japanese company.
Our cartoons will have the greatest amount of a seizure amongst American children.
It's their slow final act to World War II. just giving every one of our young children seizures over that course of time.
We will lure in American children by drawing breasts that will disappoint them later on in life. American cartoons with their conservative breasts on 13-year-old girls.
And your even more conservative virgin tentacles.
If this is what the West has to offer, tentacle-less pornography, Did Count Yoshida out.
I just want to see a video of a super patriarchal, incredibly controlling Japanese man forcing the promise ring onto the tentacle of an octopus that he has as a pet.
Do you want a dowry or no?
You're forced to stay pure whole life. All right, article number 3. New research indicates that the sun is more magnetically active than similar stars, and we have no idea why. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. I don't know that it's more magnetic than other stars, but I do know we have talked on this show several times about the Earth's magnetic poles changing.
Uh-huh, sure.
And I have to imagine that the sun follows suit from the Earth because we're such a trendsetter.
Okay, so the sun is just going to follow. That's why this is science.
I have no... I'm shooting the moon, Bobby. Don't fuck with my strategy.
You know, I heard that the whole idea of that pole shift, which we're overdue for, by the way, at some point, we are going to have a pole shift where the North Pole will become the South Pole and the South Pole will become the North Pole. It happens every 700,000 years or so. We're overdue for it. I have heard that actually a lot of conservative pundits feel that planets should just stick with the magnetic orientation that they're born with, and that flip-flopping orientations is unacceptable and kind of a sign of the degradation of society.
I grew up on a planet where north was north and south was south. I don't want to be going, let's just say our humble planet goes into some sort of galactic restroom. And we're convinced that, and then all of a sudden, another planet, which we had been convinced was a true southern hemisphere dominant planet, comes in, masquerading as a northern hemisphere planet. How am I supposed to explain this to my children?
It's north and south, not penis in my mouth. Why did I even bring that up?
But maybe we could experiment with the latter, you know, just a little bit, you know, just to own the libs.
Actually, Damien, this one is bad science. It is actually less magnetically active, and we don't know why. So other stars that have sun-like rotations that we have observed in the universe seem to be about 5 times as magnetically active as our sun, and we do not know why. There are other stars that don't have detectable rotation periods that aren't magnetic, but all the ones that we've found so far that have rotation periods like our sun are incredibly magnetic. Not kind of, not 20% more magnetic. 5 times? That's crazy. What does that mean about our sun? What's different about it? Are we in a weird time period where our sun is just less magnetically active during its life, and this is just a weird blip? Is our sun, oh, the weird goth kid among suns, and it's not magnetically active, and it just doesn't do it, and it doesn't make any sense? Like,
I don't want to go to magnet school, all right? I don't like the coach. He doesn't like my music. I don't want to make magnets, Dad, okay?
And maybe it has to do with the fact that our sun is doing something different than other suns. You know, we like to think that our sun is a typical star, but we don't know. There might be things that are different. After all, we are living in an atypical solar system because, as far as we know, it's the only one with life. So maybe that is because we have some kind of special sun. As of right now, we don't know. That's probably not the answer. In general, usually we're going to be the average. So that's probably not the answer, but we need to figure out. But in looking out, we have discovered a mystery. And that's one of the most interesting things of science, is when you discover a mystery, you look around and go, everything is like this except us. What is wrong with us?
See, you're using this as a way to blame us. Like, are we sucking the magnetism out of our sun?
By the way, I've seen some videos with that title.
What if our sun just doesn't feel the need to show off with a bunch of magnetic waves because, uh-huh, hey, we got all this, I got all this life in my solar system, and magnetic waves don't kill them.
Yeah, so you just think, like, our sun is confident, doesn't need to try and flex, it doesn't need the magnetic waves, which are the truck nuts of the astronomy world.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, magnetic waves are a lifted F-150 truck.
Yeah, okay, right? Fair enough.
Having life on your planet, that's like having a 12-inch dick. In planet circles, and that you can't have intercourse with anybody, and that's just, you're novelty big.
All right, and article number 4, because of texture and chemical similarities, biting into an apple with your eyes closed and nose plugged is indistinguishable from biting into an onion. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. Of course it's bad science. You can tell the difference between an apple and an onion, even if you did everything that you just said. However, it is science. That if you took an apple pie and a bloomin' onion from Outback Steakhouse,
yes,
it is true.
And you combine them together, you automatically get your sister pregnant.
At least that's what I'm going to tell my parents. It must have been the apple. It must have been the
God damn it. I don't know. I always figure like 30% of the people at any given time who are eating a blooming onion are about to bang their sister.
That's what you think. Because, listen, we didn't spring for this reception dinner at Outback Steakhouse.
I don't know. I guess now that you're bringing this up, I just realized that I don't have any background to that. That's just an assumption I made. I thought everybody made that assumption.
Now, is it in your mind, is that your average dumb person looks at Outback Steakhouse as an international restaurant, and so it's much classier?
Is it Outback that does the Blooming Onion?
It's Outback. Okay. They've done for the Blooming Onion what French restaurants did for escargot.
Now, I only go to restaurants that are named after particular models of Subaru. That is it. I go to the Forester, the Crosstrek, every once in a while the BRZ. It's a sharp-looking restaurant. Doesn't have all-wheel drive, though, so not really.
I am surprised Subaru hasn't come out with a Bloomin' something. A Bloomin'
like as a
Bloomin'
special,
sedan.
A special model. Actually, this one is science, meaning Damien got them all wrong. And as you know, anytime you do a quiz show in which you get all of them wrong, and then the next week you get all of them right, and then the week after that you get all of them wrong again, you will be perpetually sentenced to be screwed over in a quiz-type show regarding science trivia.
That would, no matter what happened this episode, that would have been the answer, and that would have been what actually happened moving forward.
And Damien, here's where we get to your Hodor moment, okay? That actually... That extends through time. So right now, what you just did, this shooting the moon with sandwiched in between a perfect score, is actually what caused the entire course of your I Call BS career.
Oh, that's it. I don't even need to participate anymore. Now that I know the future, I'm just going to become...
Hold the door!
I'm going to become an 800-pound giant with a huge cock, because now there's just nothing... That was my goal. I was just going to let myself go and become an 800-pound giant.
Where did you get the huge cock part? Have you been reading a lot of Hodor fan fiction?
Listen, they leave enough subtle hints for you to know that Hodor was packing heat. George R. R. Martin never says it specifically.
I'm just imagining a fan fiction comic where Sansa like accidentally stumbles into his bedchambers too early and she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, hold the door."
She understood that Catherine the Great privileged lady situation.
Oh, dear. Indeed, this is science and you can try this. What's interesting is like, the way taste and smell works together is, it's sometimes people say, if you can't smell, you can't taste. That's not exactly true. You still have the basic senses. You can mix bitter, sweet, salty, sour, umami, savory, all that kind of stuff. You can taste that even if you can't smell. However, all the kind of additional stuff, the nuance that makes food what it is and gives it that taste, does come from smell. And so if you plug your nose, you can actually eat something that has the same mixture of characteristics like sweet, sour, and the same texture, and it will taste the same. And in this case, both apples and onions, believe it or not, have about the same degree of crunchiness and are similar in their sweet to tart ratio, so that if you can keep yourself from seeing it and smelling it, those two things essentially become indistinguishable to you.
As anybody who grew up in Germany knows that we call onions German apples because they are like an apple, except they have never made anybody smile, ever.
Well, I mean, that guy's about to bang his sister is pretty happy about it.
Or to be Australian.
Oh, dear. Well, congratulations, Damien, on fulfilling your Hodor-like destiny of finding out what has caused your years-long strife of I Call BS. It was today. It was what happened right here today that has reverberated through time and affected your life ever since.
Hold on one second. Sansa Stark's at my door. I'll come back. Just continue the episode.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 433, where you learned all about how high-altitude adaptations can also help Tibetans stave off diabetes and hypertension, why naked mole rats bathe their brain in CO2 to avoid from having seizures, why our sun is mysteriously less magnetically active than similar stars, and how you can make an apple and an onion taste the same. Thanks for joining us, and come on back this Sunday for Science Faction 434.
I'm picturing Bobby going back in time, seeing a young Damien, whispering something in his ear. Immediately, I start having a seizure, saying, "Bad science! Bad science! Bad science!"
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.